Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, before we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds this morning, we want to take just a quick second and remind you of a couple things. First and foremost, of course, is the invitation to come and join us for worship services there in person. You can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestville, Missouri, and we'll be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and then 4:30 worship services. And of course, don't forget, we also meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for a Bible study. Now, the second thing we wanted to remind you of was the special services that we're going to be having in the month of November. Now, on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of November, we're going to have Brother Jerry Brewer, who's the pastor of Purity Baptist Church. We're going to have Brother Jason Wilson from Cornerstone Baptist Church. Both of those men will be there at Independence bringing special services. Now, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of that week, we're going to be having evening services, which start at 7 p.m. In addition to that, we'll also have morning services on Thursday and Friday, and those morning services will start at 10 a.m. And we trust and pray that you'll be able to join us for some of those sermons. I also want to let you know again that if you have missed any of the prior radio broadcasts, you can go ahead and listen to those on our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. Just check out the audio section and you'll be able to see any of those prior messages that we've preached here on the radio broadcast. Well, I don't want to take up too much of Brother Wayne's time for his message this morning, so let's go ahead and get back on topic. And of course, as most of you know, that we've been going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And last week, we talked about Jesus' lesson on how to pray. And we're actually going to be continuing along those same lines this week. So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds.
This morning, we want to look again in the book of Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8 for our text. This morning, we're on the second how-to in the Sermon on the Mount. The first how-to was in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, where Jesus speaks about how to give alms. And then Matthew 6, verse 5 through 15 is the second how-to. This is when Jesus Christ declares how we should pray. The third how-to is in Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18. There the Bible speaks about how to fast. And then the Bible speaks about how to properly lay up treasure in heaven. That's in Matthew 6, verse 19 through verse number 34. This morning, however, we like to just think about repetitious praying. In Matthew 6, verse 5 through verse number 8, Jesus Christ says this to the disciples, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In verse number 6, Jesus Christ says this to his listening disciples, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Some declare that God doesn't like people to ask him more than once for anything. But this really doesn't bear out in Scripture. It is hypocritical to pray in such a way that men will hear you. That is true. It is hypocritical for us to want men to compliment us on our effective prayers. Most people use verse number 6 to prove that public praying is wrong. Verse number 6 declares, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." You see, this verse is not saying that public praying is wrong. It is saying that when you pray, whether it's in public or it's in private, you need to enter into the closet of your heart. You need to get in touch with God. Not just say things that men want to hear. You need to talk to God, because that is what praying really is. It is talking to God. Others will hear your prayer. That is true. If you're praying in public, others will hear your prayer. But that is not really important. What is really important is that God hears your prayer. That's what really counts. This is what drove the disciples in Luke 11, verse number 1, to ask Christ as they were listening to him pray. They said, "Teach us to pray, because we want to be able to contact God. We know that when you're praying, that you are actually talking to God. And we want to do the same thing." And this is a major part of what praying really is. It's just simply talking to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 17, the Bible said here, "Pray without ceasing." How can you pray constantly and never repeat the same things? Sometimes we do. Sometimes something is on our mind, and we just have to pray constantly about that particular thing until we get an answer, or until God tells us he don't want to hear it anymore. Sometimes God does that. You see, it is not important to marriage partners that they sometimes repeat themselves, is it? It is very important, however, that they talk to each other. And this is the point that we're making. It is very good to always pray. In the book of Hebrews 4, and verse number 14 through verse 16, the Bible said this, "Seeing then that ye have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then the Bible says this in verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, it's not wrong to pray to the Lord when you have a problem. It's not wrong to ask God to deliver you, to help you, to do whatever he wants you to do. It is a really great thing to know that God in heaven hears our prayers. It is a wonderful thing when you have problems facing you, when you must make a decision and you're just praying that God would lead you, that God would help you. It is a very important thing to know that God cares about all of this. Notice, in the book of Revelation 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors." And then the Bible tells us what is in those golden vials that's full of odors. Notice, in Revelation 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says what's in there. The Bible said, "These are the prayers of the saints." What? Let me read that verse again. Revelation 5 and verse number 8. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. This is inconceivable to us, that the prayers that we pray to Almighty God are great things. God keeps those. He keeps those, and they're just a great thing to Him. All things are naked and open before God. Nothing is ever hidden from Him. He knows everything that we go through. God knows everything that we think. God understands our problems. God wants us to come before His throne boldly and say what we mean. God doesn't want a bunch of fancy talk. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to walk around saying what a great thing we've done that we've prayed. God don't want that. God wants us to be honest before Him because He already knows, He already understands everything that we're going through. In the book of James 5 and verse 13 through verse 18, the Bible said here, "Is any among you afflicted?" What do you do when you're afflicted? The Bible says in James 5 and verse 13, "Let him pray." When you're facing sorrow, let him pray. Now, the Bible goes on in James 5 and verse number 13. The Bible said here, "Is any merry?" The Bible said, "Let him sing psalms." Is anybody sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that is what we're doing when we're praying for someone. We're anointing them with oil, and God keeps that in golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The Bible says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It is not just praying that saves the sick. It is the prayer of faith that will save the sick. "And the Lord shall raise him up. If he had committed sins, it shall be forgiven him." The Bible said in verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." Why? Why should we pray for each other? The Bible tells us in verse 16 that ye may be healed. The Bible goes on in verse 16 and it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then in verse 17 of James 5, the Bible gives us an example. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. This is a marvelous thing. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time with no rain at all. The Bible said, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Does God hear our prayers? Listen, God does hear our prayers. And every prayer that we pray, God keeps that prayer. It's a great thing. God puts that in a vial. It's an odor of a sweet smell. God wants us to pray. Sometimes we don't understand the effectiveness of our prayers. But God is very gracious to us. Somebody would say, "Well, if I was as good a guy as Elijah, then I could pray." Listen, Elijah was a man. He is just like we are. He was afraid. He had doubts. He had worries. He had all kinds of fears, just like we do. But Elijah prayed and called on God, and the heaven did not give its rain for 3 years and 6 months. And the Bible said, Elijah prayed again. Those things that trouble you in your life, you need to pray. God will absolutely bless. You see, there's no difference between you and Elijah. You see, there's no difference between the power that God has given us in prayer and the power that God has given to Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. There is no difference between us. We can have the power of God if we earnestly and totally give ourselves to Almighty God. Now, look with me in the book of Luke, Luke 22. The Bible says here about Jesus Christ, before his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, that he was greatly troubled. The Bible said that he prayed in verse number 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. Our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Master, kneeled down and prayed. And the Bible said, he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ was totally in submission to his Father's will. In the matter that was before him, he was facing crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. He was facing rejection of men. He was facing the fact that his Father would turn his back upon his only begotten Son. The Bible says that he was greatly distressed by this. The Bible said in verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Look in verse 44 at this marvelous passage. The Bible said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. The Bible goes on and says about his prayer to God. The Bible said, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever sweated when you prayed? I know sweated is probably not an English word, but when you pray, do you ever sweat? Jesus Christ did. The Bible says that he did. On this occasion, it says that he did. Now, a lot of people have wrote theses and all this about whether it was blood or not. You know, the thing about it is that we forget altogether is that he was in such agony that he actually sweat. Understand that that's so. Jesus Christ was praying so earnestly that he actually sweat. That shows us the turmoil, the trial, and everything that he was going through. Jesus Christ was doing that for us. He was facing crucifixion for us, not for him. He is the perfect one. He came to this world specifically for the purpose of shedding his blood and dying on the cross of Calvary for us. But he was a man as well. He was a perfect man and a perfect God, and he went through death for us on the cross of Calvary. A marvelous thing is that he died that we might have life. I am saved by the power of someone else. I'm saved by the power of God. He touched me. It wasn't me that touched him. It was God that touched me. It was God that has made the difference in me. It's not me. It's God that's done it all. When we come to that point, we've come to, I think, a great thing. To know that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ didn't have any sins. But we did. And he died for us. Absolutely, it was so. Another thing that we need to do when we earnestly pray to God and let God answer our prayers is that we ought to trust God. We ought to keep trusting God regardless of what happens. An example of this is found in the book of John, chapter number 4, and verse number 49. The Bible said here in this place, "The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die." Now, this nobleman was looking for Jesus Christ to heal his son. The son was in a bad situation. The son was going to die if he wasn't healed by Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse number 50 of John 4, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Look in verse 51. And the Bible doesn't say it in this place, but it says it in another gospel. But he didn't go home right away. The man believed that God was well able to do what he said he would do, whether he was there or not. The man trusted God. Because he asked God, he knew that when God told him that it was going to be okay, that the son was going to live, the man did not go home. The Bible said in John 4 and verse 51, as he was going down, this is the next day, when the man was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to amend. The Bible said in verse number 52, and they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." You just calculate the time. You calculate the distance, and you see that the man, he took Jesus Christ at his word. This is what praying really is. It's just believing that Jesus Christ is well able to take care of things. When we pray, we need to pray and know that God hears our prayers, that God keeps those prayers in a vial of sweet odors, that they're constantly reminding him. He didn't ever forget, but they're reminding him of the greatness and the power of Almighty God. We are so weak, and we need him in a great way. It's good to pray. God can answer our prayers. God is well able to watch over and supply everything. In the book of Acts 12 and verse number 5, the Bible says here that the church prayed earnestly for Peter. He was in jail at the time. In Acts 12 and verse number 5, the Bible says here, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." The church at this point was praying that God would somehow deliver Peter. James, who was in prison, had already been killed by Herod. And the church was desperately praying that God would deliver Peter. God heard their prayer, and God answered their prayer by delivering Peter out of the prison that he was kept. You see, this is what we desire. We desire a real answer to our prayers. Do you know who Rhoda is? In the book of Acts 12 and verse number 13, the Bible said that Peter, when he was delivered out of prison, that he came to the place where they were praying. And Peter knocked on the door, and there was a woman named Rhoda that answered the door. The Bible says, when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't even open the door, but she ran and told the people that Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Well, you must be crazy." You know, God is well able to deliver. God is well able to do that. If we just trust in him and just believe in him, God is so very good to us all. In Luke 18, verse number 1 through verse number 8, notice here what the unjust judge said. Jesus Christ wants us to continually pray to him regardless of what it looks like the outcome will be. Notice in the book of Luke 18, verse number 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." The lesson of the parable is given here. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus Christ says to us, in this day and age in which we live, God wants us to continually pray to him for the injustices that men place upon us. God wants us to be right before him. You see, it is not that we're wanting to be proclaimed right. Rather, we want God to glorify himself in us. When Jesus comes back, will he find his people still praying? Or will we be simply thinking about all of our problems and trying to come up with a solution? Listen, the answer is very simple and very plain. We need to ask God, talk to God, enter into the closet of your heart and pray unto the Lord. God hears and God knows and God understands the things that you're going through. God knows all about that. Just pray to God and ask God to bless. God will, God can. God sometimes is the only one that can answer your prayers. But rest assured that God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows all about that. And what God wants you to do is to humbly pray to him and let him take care of it. Sometimes we try to, but God don't want us taking care of it. God wants us to be submissive unto him and to his will and not unto anything else. God wants us to be faithful unto him. This is why God has said very specifically the reasons that we ought to pray. Ought to pray all the time about everything, never leaving anything to chance or to happenstance. But we ought to pray and ask God and always put what God wants you to do first. God will always bless if we simply trust in him. Make it an earnest plea that you do, is that you always trust in the Lord and ask him. He can always supply, and he always will.
You know, we trust that these messages on prayer have been a blessing to each and every one of you. That proper attitude and proper means of prayer is something that we need to be reminded of pretty often, honestly, or at least I do. And again, I want to remind everybody that if you did miss part one of this message, you can log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. From there, you'll be able to listen to all of our prior radio broadcasts, including last week's on How to Pray Part 1. And from that website, you'll also be able to see any other contact information for our church. So if you need to reach out to us, if you need to email the pastor, there'll be some links on there for you to be able to reach out to Brother Wayne if you have any specific questions for him. And of course, also on that website, you'll find links to different books, articles, all of which I think you'll find as great resources as you try to take God's word and dig into it and study and learn more about him. Well, once again, I can see that we're pretty well running out of time, but we're very thankful you're able to join us this morning, and we look forward to being able to join you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we once again look into God's holy word.